I seem to recall I'm live, don't I? Tonight. We've read all those readings together, and you know, it's a typical, what you might call a Christmas service
of lessons and carols. Oh yeah, it's done in most churches. And I've been involved with organising carol services in my old university, and we used to do all this, but at the end, of course, really there wasn't a lot said about what happened. Now, I've been praying about what I should do tonight, and it seems to me that the Lord has laid on my heart very forcibly the fact that our Bible is indeed... It's not a book, as we tell the children when we go to the schools with the little red testaments. It's really, it's a volume of 66 books, but it's in two parts, two halves. And the thing about it is sometimes people say to me, well, I can understand you reading the New Testament, but the Old Testament, that's something else, isn't it? And yes, it is certainly something else. But it is, in actual fact, it gives us the basis, and the New Testament is indeed the fulfillment of much of what is in the Old Testament. And so, as I've read through these again this week and thought about them, I've been reminded that the prophecies are accurate and concise. As most of the readings are familiar to most of us, I just want to highlight or pinpoint a very few key points for each reading. So you're not going to be until 8 o'clock, I can assure you. So we will look at them in that way. So you can remember them, all my points begin with a P. So here we are. So the first one that was read to us was Isaiah 7, 13 to 14. And there was no doubt about it that that is indeed prophetic. The sign of Emmanuel's virgin birth. God would give the sign of the birth of Emmanuel by means of a virgin, we're told. Now, we hear all sorts of things in these days in which we live. This word that we sort of hear on every day, almost woke news and what have you. But, you know, I've talked to people over the years who cannot get their heads around the fact that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed a virgin birth. But the Bible, and I'm sure that every one of us in this room tonight would agree that from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, right through to Revelation 22 and verse 21, I think it is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. And these men and women who wrote these things were indeed guided by the Holy Spirit. And so we can take it tonight that this is indeed true, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We read that in the Matthew reading, didn't we, where he was going to take Mary and take her away. He was going to divorce her, as it puts it. But the angel said that he should not do that, but that he should take her home as his wife. And then our next one was in Isaiah 9. And the word that seemed to stand out to me as I read through that portion was that it's precise. So we've got that it's prophetic reading, and we've now got a precise reading again by Isaiah. And you know, the more I read the book of Isaiah, the more I realize what a wonderful prophet he was and how he was really guided by the Holy Spirit in the many facets that he brings to us that are fulfilled in the New Testament. We haven't got time to go into them now, but it's a son is given to us by God. And this son that we've been given has many wonderful attributes and characteristics. And they're therefore our benefit. And it goes on to say that the Lord Jesus Christ will live forever, will reign forever. And his titles, if you read through them again, you realize that they declare his divinity. He said in the Gospel of John that he came as the light of the world, John chapter 1 and verse 4. And he was self-proclaimed to bring humanity out of the darkness of sin and into the glorious light of the gospel. We're told that in John chapter 8, verse 12. The Lord Jesus said those words. And then we come to Micah, and Micah is only a very small book, isn't it? But, you know, there tucked away in chapter 5 is the clue as to where this was going to happen. And it's going to be in Bethlehem. Now, I've never had the privilege of going to the Holy Land. I was supposed to be going a couple of years ago, but I wasn't really fit enough to do the trek, so I thought the safest thing was to stay here. But I understand that Bethlehem is a small, insignificant town in Judea, a place where it would be naturally expected, naturally expected to be the birthplace for a prince. Yes, that's who the Lord Jesus is. He is indeed the Prince of Peace, where we're reminded again in Isaiah. So I was thinking of this, and you know, a lot of these things are perhaps, if we read them for the first time, they may be thought to be hard to take. But you know, again, we come back to Isaiah, and he says that who has understood the mind of the Lord, and to whom can we compare God? So let's not lose sight this Christmas, that this Christmas story, which is very familiar to so many of us, but sadly it's not familiar at all to many people outside these days, this is indeed all happened because we have a wonderful creative God. And then in Luke 1, where we read there, we were reminded that the Lord Jesus was indeed promised. So we've got it's prophetic, it's precise, the place where he's going to be born, and now he is promised. And the complete details are given to us, and that in 6 months' time, he was going to be 6 months older than the one who was going to go before him and introduce him to the people in Judea, none other than John the Baptist. And so, if we look through the Bible, we see right through the Old Testament, right from Genesis 3, that the Lord Jesus is indeed promised to us. Because remember, Adam and Eve were put into that beautiful garden, nothing to do, just to communicate and enjoy the environment. But we know that sin entered in. And so it was that God said that he promised that Adam and Eve, there was someone who would be indeed be a problem to them. And we know that. Those of us who are gardeners, we know we get these lovely flowers, don't we, in the garden. But if we get a very dry spell, we perhaps lose the flowers, but we don't lose the weeds, do we? And such it is that Adam was told that because he had disobeyed God, he would indeed, the ground was cursed forever. But he promised that there was one coming who would indeed deal with this person, the devil, who had caused it all. And so Nazareth, not a very spectacular place. He's born a virgin in a new womb. But you know, he was born to die. He's the only baby that I know of, and I don't think anyone else knows, that was born to die. And he was indeed buried in a new tomb as a youngest man of 33 years. And he He was named, wasn't he? Jesus, which means Savior. That's why he came. And then into Luke 2 and 1:7, we are brought to the point where we realize that he is preordained by God. You see, a terrible thing for Mary and Joseph to have to make that long journey on the Mary on the back of a donkey. But you see, God knew what he was doing. And so it was that this census was brought about, and Joseph was from Nazareth, and he had to return to the town of Bethlehem, as we were promised in Micah, the town of David. And Jesus was born on arrival. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I was thinking of that long journey on the back of a donkey. He could have been born at any point on that journey, because poor old Mary would have been jogged about as she was on the back of that donkey. But God keeps his word, doesn't he? And he promised that he would be born indeed in Bethlehem in Judea. And so he came, and it was all part of God's perfect plan. And then Luke 2, we read, was about the angels. And I've given the heading of praiseworthy. What a spectacle that must have been. The angels were surrounded by the glory of the Lord, and they were proclaiming the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this child that was born and who would grow up to be not only the Savior of the world, but in order to do that, he would become the man of Calvary. And our final reading was indeed about the relevance of the birth of the Lord Jesus, the wise men. And I've entitled that The Pertinence, the Relevance of the Birth. Yes, these wise men, astronomers, they followed the star, and it took them to Jerusalem. Now, you'd expect a prince to be born in a palace, but that wasn't God's plan. We've already seen that God's ways are not our ways, and God works in wonderful ways. And so it was that they went to where they thought he would be. It appeared that the star stopped over the palace, and they went in. And of course, we know that Herod was very concerned, very perturbed when he heard the news. He didn't know anything about a prince being born. And he said that he wanted the wise men to go and find out where he was, and they could come back and tell him so that he could go and worship them. Well, we know that that wouldn't have been the case, because we know what he did. Or when they didn't come back, all the little boys of 2 or under were indeed put to death by this wicked king. But God was in it, and they went. Joseph and Mary were moved down to Egypt, and he was preserved. But you know, those three wise men, well, we say there were three. We don't know how many, the word Bible doesn't say. But it says that they brought gifts. And the gifts were, one was gold. And that reminds us of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're reminded in Revelation, and toward the end, I haven't put the verse in, but that the Lord Jesus is indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the one that we are going to be worshipping over this Christmas time. So gold reminds us of the kingship. But then another gift was the incense. And this reminds us that what we're reminded in, particularly in the book of Hebrews, that the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He is indeed the one who intercedes for us with his Father. So this reminds us of the priestly role of the Lord Jesus. And we can come as his people. We can come and we can seek his help at all times. Because he's walked the walk that we are walking. And he knows the problems that can happen in our lives. And finally, there was the myrrh. And this reminds us of his death. You know, we can't... Easter and Christmas are inextricably linked. You can't think about Christmas without you think about the Easter story as well, when the Lord Jesus would be taken and would be treated so awfully by the Roman soldiers and be given that false trial and so on, and then would be hanged on that center cross. But that was why he came. That's the wonder of Christmas. That's the wonder of the entrance into this world of this baby. And let's not lose sight of that at this Christmas time. He came in order that he might give his life, the Bible says, as a ransom for us. So I trust that as we've read these familiar readings tonight again, that perhaps we'll read them again over the Christmas period. And that we will seek to look at them and maybe find some fresh truths in them. They're all there, and that we might indeed come as those wise men did and bow humbly before him. You know, if I don't know, I can't see how many people are here. I can see bodies, but what with the masks and the fact that I'm not actually standing and we're in subdued light, so I don't know who I'm speaking to, apart from the regulars, should we say, that I know who've been here and those who've done the readings. But you know, I wonder tonight if you, having come in to enjoy this service and to enjoy hearing the readings again of Christmas. If you've never actually accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, I just pray that over this Christmas time that you would think about these things and come to the realisation that if you'd been the only person in this world, the Lord Jesus would still have come to save you. He loves every one of us. Some of us don't deserve love, do we? That when we see some of the awful things that have happened and are happening in our world, and you know, you could be forgiven for thinking, how can God love that person? But God loves every one of us. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And eternal life starts now and goes on. It's a concept you can't get your head round, really, but it's a wonderful thing, and we take it by faith. I trust that it's been a blessed time. I've thoroughly enjoyed this evening, and we are going to close by singing "In the Bleak Midwinter," and the last verse goes something like this. I haven't got a hymn book in front of me, but it says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a wise man, if I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yes, what I can, I give him. I give my heart." Let's sing this beautiful carol in closing.
In the bleak midwinter.